Coming up this week is the first night of Kids Club, so most of the family is covered. Come out Wednesday night. There's a Bible study for the adults, there's youth group for the kids, and then for the younger ages, there's Kids Club as well. We're excited to be kicking that off. If you look coming up, we've got a handful of events. September 23rd, save that date for a family movie night. The rest of the announcements in here, I will leave for you, but please do take the time to read through this yellow sheet so you may know what's going on here at St. Paul's. One other announcement, the Abels, John and Ruby Abel, they are moving down to the cities, at least for the winter. They're moving in with their daughter Lydia. If you'd like their address or contact information, just contact the church and we will be able to get that to you. Cassie has an announcement at this time.
Just a quick announcement. It's the first day of Sunday school and we had a wonderful time. We have a registration table that's actually in the fellowship hall where the potluck is. So if you could take a minute to go register your kids, and there's also a spot to register for Kids Club on that sheet also, that would be wonderful. There are some balloons also that kids can take home after church or after potluck, so feel free to help yourself to that also. We do have a couple opportunities that are still available for helping with Kids Club and Sunday school. There's a every other week teacher position for preschool, and then also some Kids Club helper spots that we need. And helpers for Kids Club, you really don't have to plan anything or know how to do anything. It's just a time to sit and play with the kids and be of help in that way. So if you could let anyone at the Christian Ed Committee know, it's me, Jana, Tanner, Tori Fugleberg, or Karina Olson. That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Cassie. Any other announcements this morning? Very good. Well, then hear now this morning's call to worship from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name, let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. If you would please rise and join in singing our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
May be seated. Well, we come here today knowing that we are sinners and we are sick with sin, and yet we have a wonderful Savior, the great physician who's healed us. Mark 2:17 says, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So let's praise the Lord at the beginning of this service with "The Great Physician Now is Near."
Speaks the drooping heart to cheer, for hear the voice of Jesus. is like a river glorious, and Isaiah 48:18 says, your peace would have been like a river.
Titus 2:13 through 14 says, Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Sing, wonderful, merciful Savior.
Precious Redeemer and Friend.
this time, if you would join me in confessing our sins using the words that are in your bulletin and are upon the screen as well.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and he has given his only Son to die for us, and it's for his sake that he forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name, he gives the power to become sons and daughters of God, and he bestows on them his Holy Spirit. The scriptures declare that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. This time I will ask Caleb to come up for our scripture reading.
The Old Testament lesson for today is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 7. Please rise for the reading of God's word. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 7. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense and the ears of the deaf, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs for water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. Our second reading is from James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Knowing this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Here ends the reading for today.
Let us declare what we bother Almighty. May the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I now invite the ushers to come forward to receive this morning's offering. Lord, your word declares that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due. Thank you, and we praise you. Lord, this morning we acknowledge that everything we have is a gift from you, and we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we pray that you would take these offerings, Lord, and that you would use them for your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have a special time here now in our worship service that we celebrate once a year. We have the habit, the practice of distributing Bibles to our third grade students. And so on this first day of Sunday school, I'm going to ask if Solomon Patenode and Magnus Sletten would come up here at this time. There you go, and hang out up here for just a minute with me. You guys come, now turn around and look at all these people. They didn't know that I was going to do this to them. Don't worry, it's not going to be painful. Would you say this is a lot of people or not a lot of people? A lot of people? Did you know that these people all care about you and love you? Did you know that? Yeah, and the biggest thing that we care about and that we want for you as you grow older is that you will remain in God's Word, okay? We're giving you a very special gift here, and this is the Bible. You maybe have other Bibles at home too, and that's good. This one isn't necessarily any more particularly special, but we want you to know that it is our desire that you stay in God's Word as you grow up and grow older. And I want to share some Bible verses with you from John chapter 6. Okay, you can turn around here so that I want to see you. I don't want to see your eyes because I want to look you in the eyes when I say this. Okay? This is from John chapter 6. And this is a time when it was right after, do you know the story of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000? Okay? And not long after that, actually, things got a little bit tough for Jesus and the disciples. And a lot of people ended up actually walking away from Jesus. And it was really sad. And so Jesus says to his disciples, he says, are you guys going to leave too? And do you know what? And do you know what Peter said? This is what Peter said. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And I want you two to know that in God's Word, in the Bible, we have what Peter says: the words of eternal life. These are the words of eternal life, and this is why we care so much about you two and love you guys and want you to stay in God's Word, because these are the words of eternal life. And so keep these words close to you as you grow up, okay? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Okay, dear Lord, thanks for your word. Thank you, God, that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, God, that we find in your word that your word is the word of life, that it brings eternal life, that it saves, that it increases and grows faith. And I pray for Magnus and for Solomon, Lord, I pray that you would grow their faith. I pray that you would continue to keep them in your word, keep their nose in your word. I pray, God, that they would be diligent to read it and to study it and to know it, to understand it. Reveal your word to them, God. I thank you so much for them, and I pray that you would bless them as they start this new year of Sunday school as well. In your name I pray, amen. All right, thanks you guys. You can go sit down. Before the message, we have special music this morning, and so I'll call on Aaron and Rachel and Regan, it looks like, too.
great is your faithfulness. Pardon for sin.
Thank you very much for that. Great is thy faithfulness, beginning to end. We have a Savior. We have a Savior who is in the business of miracles and of doing good work. Our God does good work. And we're going to talk about miracles today. Our text is a miracle. The confession that we find at the end of our text is that he does all things well. And before we start this morning, I thought I would just, in that context, give you a little bit of an update. Many of you have been praying for Ken Alokin here in these last couple months now. And Ken here just the other day moved back to Fargo. He's been in Minneapolis this whole time. He's not at home. He's in a facility here in town and is doing well and is healing. And I wanted to give you that very brief update so that you can know that our prayers are being answered. God hears our prayers. We talk about prayer an awful lot and we pray an awful lot. We don't necessarily always, I think, at least I'm guilty of this, stop and recognize and say thank you when God answers our prayers. And that's happening. And so I want you to know that, and I want you to know that so that you can praise God for his good work in Ken's body and mind and to keep praying for him. There's still a lot of healing to happen. And so keep praying for him and for Margaret and for the boys and the rest of the family there too. But join me, please, in thanking God here these days for the healing that he has worked in Ken's life. We are talking, like I said, about miracles, about healing today. And as I read this episode of this miracle, I would ask that you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word. It's from Mark 7 is where I'm at. Mark 7, beginning with verse 31, reading through to the end of the chapter, verse 37. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them the more zealously, Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astounded beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. These are your words, Father in heaven. These are words of life, as I mentioned earlier here with the boys. God, these words in particular are words that bring life and healing in a very specific and physical way in this instance. But God, I am eternally grateful to you for the spiritual healing and life that your word, that your work brings. I'm grateful to you today that you do your work well. And Lord, we join our hearts this morning to praise you and to thank you for that. I pray, God, that as we hear your word now this morning, that you would set it in our hearts as true because it is true. Bless this time, we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. What are you good at? I often hear people describe themselves a couple of different ways. We might think, first of all, that maybe we're really good at some things and awful at other things. Or I've heard other people consider themselves maybe pretty good at a lot of things, but not necessarily excellent in one particular thing. But we're all competent, we're all good at something. And it's good, it's okay, it's healthy to be self-aware and to recognize our strengths. It's also okay and healthy and appropriate to acknowledge that we're not excellent at everything. Some of the more humbling episodes in my life have taught me that. I remember as a young boy, maybe 10 or 11 years old, recently moved from the big city in Minneapolis and now living in western South Dakota in the heart of cowboy country. Our family was invited to a ranch for dinner, and I had maybe ridden a horse once before in my lifetime. I distinctly remember going to this family's ranch and the rancher taking me out to the barn to ride one of his horses, and I get on the horse, and he starts teaching me how to ride, and I quickly inform him that I know exactly what I'm doing and I don't need his help. A 10-year-old city boy saying that he knows everything about horse riding to a seasoned rancher. One of the reasons I don't forget that episode is because it was followed by one of the harshest lectures I ever received from my parents. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we still fight that obnoxious arrogance as adults. Sometimes it's silly episodes like home projects that we are convinced are easily fixable. Maybe this is just me. Until we are a couple $100 and many hours into the project, and we've only made it worse, thinking we've got it all figured out. Or maybe, just maybe, it's more serious episodes where you're caught in addiction, and you refuse to get the help that you need in order to break the addiction because you're convinced that you can handle it yourself, and you don't need to embarrass yourself by confessing weakness to another person. You can say that about marital struggles, parenting frustrations. It doesn't take long to start seeing that we are prone to the deception that no matter what struggle or battle we encounter, we can find the solution on our own because we're that good at knowing everything and fixing our own problems. In our text this morning, Jesus encountered a man with problems. Problems that this man couldn't fix himself. Problems that reminded him every day of his own inabilities and shortcomings. In many ways, friends, this is a simple and straightforward, clear presentation of the miraculous ability of Jesus to work a miracle. And if that's all you get this morning, that's fine because it's beautiful. But I would encourage you not to underestimate or overlook the beauty of this simple message. It might be that the Holy Spirit will help you, help us to see better our own shortcomings and to see the miracle worker better for who he truly is and the role that he has in our life. As Jesus is traveling and teaching and healing and teaching and healing non-Jews here, that's important. to quickly identify the ministry and the work of Jesus was for Jew and for Gentile. And right before this episode, Jesus cast a demon out of the daughter of a Gentile woman. And now he's in this Gentile region of Decapolis, verse 31 says, the region of the 10 cities, Decapolis. He had been here before. Two chapters before this, in Mark 5, we find the episode of the demon-possessed man who, when Jesus asked who the demon was, the demon replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And that was when Jesus cast all those demons into that herd of pigs, if you're familiar with that story. And the healed man there in Mark 5 proclaimed in the Decapolis, it says, how much Jesus had done for him. That's Mark 5:20. Listen to that. The healed man proclaimed how much Jesus had done for him. Here's a good exercise for you. Who are the Christians? There isn't a soul here who is above asking that question about themselves. Are you a Christian? We're the ones who have been saved, born again, given new life, right? That's who the Christians are. That's who we are. Every birth is a miracle. Your salvation is a miracle, and yet it happens so often. I ask someone, tell me about how you became a Christian. What makes you a Christian? Share your testimony. However you want to phrase that question. And the main character in the story is the individual. I grew up in a Christian home, which is a good thing, by the way, okay, and something to be thankful for, but that's not everybody's story, and that's definitely not what makes us a Christian. But I grew up in a Christian home, I went to Sunday school, and then I fell away, or I messed up and sinned this way, and my life since then has had a lot of ups and downs, but I'm thankful that I've made it through this far. Familiar? Who's the main character in that story? Where's Jesus? Who are the Christians? How are you saved? In chapter 5, this man went around proclaiming when he was healed, not himself, but how much Jesus had done for him. This is what Jesus has done in my life. Look at what he did here. Look at what he did here. And it can and it should be very personal. I'm not saying you can't talk about yourself, but it should be all about what he has done for me. That's testifying to the goodness of God in Christ. Do you see that? Because you see, when it comes to salvation, miracle working, that's not one of those things that I'm particularly good at. Sometimes I like to think I am, but it's a lie. So my salvation, my relationship with God, my faith, is what it's about what Jesus has done for me. So here's the exercise. Think about that today. Who's the main character in your testimony? If it's all about you, I'd highly recommend spending some time today refocusing your attention on what matters, on who matters. And by the way, you do matter, but the point is you matter to the God of the universe, and he therefore then deserves all the glory and honor and praise. Maybe you've never thought about that, your testimony. That's fine. Ask yourself this question today. What has Jesus done for me? I think that's good for anybody to think about. Ask yourself, what has Jesus done for me? That's your testimony. That was the testimony of this man who was healed in chapter 5 and this man who was healed in chapter 7 in our text. What has Jesus done for me? Ask your children that on the way home later today. What has Jesus done for you? How has he saved you? What is he teaching you? This is what we do as Christians. We proclaim all that Jesus has done for us. And friends, that is good and it's healthy and it's appropriate because on our own, we have problems. If our story of salvation and faith and life is about what we have done, how good a job we've done being faithful and so forth, we learn at some point how shaky that ground is. The man in our text knew how truly helpless he was, possibly from birth. He was deaf, so he couldn't hear. He had a speech impediment, so he couldn't talk or even talk well. They very likely had heard this testimony of the previously demon-possessed man from a few chapters earlier in the same region, and so they bring this man now to Jesus, the healer, the miracle worker, the Savior. And sure enough, Jesus heals him. It's a wonderful story. Can you imagine with me the joy, the elation, the excitement in this man who can now hear and talk clearly for maybe the first time ever? It says there that they were astonished beyond measure at this miracle. But the focus in verse 37 at the end of our text wasn't so much that they were astonished beyond measure, saying, look at this guy can talk now, as amazing and awesome as that is. Their astonishment beyond measure, look at what Jesus has done. That's the song of our heart. When we are given new life, when we are born again, look at what Jesus has done. He's made us new. He's breathed new life into us. And we see and we hear now for the first time like we never had before. If there was ever a simple and brief and feel-good story in our text of this healing, this is it. In our text, as it applies to you and me, however, maybe it's not so simple. What if our gospel message, to look at it another way from this text, was simply to come to church with your different sufferings and your cancer will be gone? Wouldn't that be nice? Your ears will work well again. You'll be able to see clearly. Your depression will go away with the snap of a finger if you just come to church. You'll never have pain in your back again. I could keep going. Now, certainly we do believe that God heals physically and mentally even today. Frankly, I think it happens a lot more than we realize. If for no other reason than that we're used to these kinds of stories in the Bible and it doesn't happen like this today, and so then we don't recognize it as a miracle. But no miracle is ever going to look exactly like this for us because very simply, Jesus is not physically here in person anymore. Think about this. How many times do doctors and nurses help people to feel better? Is it fair to say that God is doing his good work through them? You bet it is. Does it happen that people start feeling better for no better scientific or medical reason? You bet it happens. The Lord of creation is still very busy at work. Our frustration is usually because it either doesn't happen to us or to our loved ones, or it doesn't happen to them when we want it to happen. And to talk about that in depth would take us to a whole nother message for today. But for now, let me just simply say on that just because something we want to happen doesn't happen to us or the people we love how we want it to and when we want it to, it doesn't mean that God isn't present. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care. One of my favorite parts of this miracle in particular is how Jesus does it. There's no mysticism here. There's no abracadabra magic. There's no trickery or sorcery. He simply speaks, be opened. And he physically touches the guy in such a way that the man could understand then what was happening to him. The guy couldn't hear that what Jesus was saying, but he didn't negate the power of Christ's word to heal. Christ's presence and his work was done here in such a way that was very clearly seen and experienced and understood. Jesus put his fingers in his ears. He touched his tongue. He spoke not a magic word, but a word that only the one who rules over creation could speak. And speak it he did. You know, people disregard faith sometimes as this hocus-pocus, vague, mystical type of Kool-Aid. No. Jesus demonstrates here that he is real and he is active in creation. We have this real word that he has given to us that can actually be understood. We see and we feel the waters of baptism that wash away sin because of the power of God's word. This is what baptism is. It's a physical means by which the power of God's word comes and does good work. Because God gives us physical things that we can understand, where we can understand the forgiveness and the cleansing that happens to us through the Word of God. We physically taste the goodness and forgiveness of God when we eat and drink at the table, as the powerful Word of God declares. Christ, friends, is present. He is here and he is at work in a very tangible way, and he shows that to us over and over again in ways that we do experience and understand, because this is the creative and present God that we have, who is active in our lives, who does good work. There are some who still don't like it, because it looks in our minds and hearts like God isn't fixing things the way that we want them to be fixed, or he's maybe just not doing a good enough job. But in verse 37, the people who witnessed this all proclaimed, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." I would argue, my friends, that God indeed does all things well. And if it doesn't look like it to us, maybe it's because the God of the universe knows better than us. Possible? I think so. And the good news there, friends, is that he actually has graciously chosen to tell us actually what he is up to. He's not a God who purposely, like a mean bully, keeps us in the dark about stuff. He has told us what he is up to. I want to show you something here. The people in verse 37, they exclaim that he even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Okay? Maybe that's a familiar phrase to some of you. The New Testament is written in the Greek language, and where we get our that's where we get our New Testament translated from, okay, from the Greek language. And the Greek language uses a very common word for speak there. But in verse 32, if you're following along, Mark uses a different word to describe the man's inability to speak. And it's the only time in the New Testament that that word is used for the word to speak, okay? Out of hundreds of potential other places where speaking comes up in the text, that word is used only once in the New Testament, and it's right there in verse 32 in our text. Now, if you look at the Greek Old Testament, okay, at that version, it's only used once in the Old Testament too, that word. And I'm not trying to get mystical here. We don't worship this book, but we do worship the God who wrote this book, and I don't believe that he writes things by accident. That one time where that word is used in the Old Testament, so connecting this text with another text in the Old Testament, is in Isaiah 35. And Mr. Peterson read those verses for us earlier. Listen to them again. "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. Picture this stuff with me, please. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert. And if you're like me, I'm thinking of lots of sand and dryness. But maybe it's okay for you to insert a desert that you are currently in. A time where it feels like there isn't life, where there's only hurt and pain and dryness and suffering. The God who does good work, who makes good promises, says this to you today. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice, the blossom like and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, look, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you, it says. Verse 5 in Isaiah 35, the eyes of the blind, here comes, shall be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We are directed here in our text and in the rest of Scripture as it all comes together as one unified voice of the God who created you and loves you and saves you. We are directed to this word that says that He has something far, far better prepared for you than you could ever dare to come up with. Do you think that this miracle in Mark 7 was just to fix a guy's tongue and ears? No. Praise God when He graciously did that. And praise God when He does graciously give us good things. Just like the other scripture, He does every good and perfect gift is from above. Praise God when He does graciously give us good things, when He does heal our diseases and comfort our sorrows. But Jesus ultimately came to do an even better work, a work that's good for eternity. Blossoms in the wilderness, streams in the desert, springs of water in the burning sand, tongues that can speak and ears that can hear and legs that can leap for joy. Everlasting joy for the ransomed of the Lord, the ones He has purchased with His blood. The saved ones. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Friends, we have heaven. And it's ours. Because Christ worked a miracle. He shed His blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And He swallowed up death in victory. He has done all things well. Are you a Christian? What has Jesus done for you? If you're not a Christian, I hope you heard some today of what Jesus has done for you. And if you'd like to hear more, I'd love nothing more than to tell you more of what He has done. Praise God for His miraculous work all over the place, but especially in our hearts, in our lives. Amen. As we close this morning, let's sing together, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, hymn number 565. It is enough, O Lord, that you died and that you died for me, for us. God, we praise your name today. We thank you. We love you for doing your work so well and for doing it for us, that your gracious, lavish generosity has showered us with your goodness, with your life, with your salvation. And so, God, we respond this morning in praise and in thankfulness in our hearts and with our words to you for the great things you have done. Thank you, O Lord, for being a miracle worker, the miracle worker, the one who works miracles, who makes possible the impossible, who brings life where there's only death, who heals where there's sickness. God, thank you for the ways in which you so richly, abundantly provide for us here on this earth. But today especially, we're grateful for your eternal provision, for eternal life and salvation that is found in you and you alone. Oh God, we burst forth in joy and in song for you and for all that you have done for us. Lord, I pray for our Sunday school. I am so grateful to you for another year of those times of teaching and training. Lord, I pray for our children. I pray that you would use this time now in their lives to strengthen their faith, to reveal yourself to them through your word. I pray for our teachers. God, I pray that you would continue to provide those volunteers where help is still needed. Father, we thank you for our midweek activities, confirmation and Bible study and kids club now starting up in youth group. Lord, I pray that you would bless those times. We think of our meal coming up now in this wonderful time of food and fellowship. Thank you for providing the food for us. I pray that you would bless this food to our bodies. God, we thank you so much for this time that we spent in your word today. Thank you for feeding us. The bread of life. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. Receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.